You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Climate Change Minister Simon Watts has announced a new climate strategy. The strategy is based on five core pillars, including infrastructure is resilient and communities are well prepared, credible markets support the climate transition, clean energy is abundant and affordable, world-leading climate innovation boosts the economy, and nature-based solutions address climate change. The strategy has been met with strong opposition from environmental organisations such as Greenpeace, as well as opposition parties in Parliament. I spoke to the University of Canterbury's Bronwyn Hayward about this climate strategy and also how it compares to Labour's. I started by asking her to explain what the strategy is.
Yesterday, the government announced what its kind of vision is going to be. It re-announced it because it had signalled this before the election. But their focus is very much going to be on a technological and infrastructure investment approach, using the market, particularly using things like the emissions trading scheme to try and reduce emissions, and putting a big emphasis on nature-based solutions as well. The critics are saying, well, that's fine, where's the policy? I mean, they're going a lot further than that. Some of them are extremely critical about it. But in some ways, what this government's announced is what you'd expect from a centre-right. This is very much a National Party vision of how to tackle climate through what we'd call ecological modernisation, or through the technological and economic fixes. By contrast, Labour's big focus had been on a just transition, like how to transition away from oil and gas in ways that protect workers' jobs and protect vulnerable people. So both of the main parties are putting their kind of branding on their approach to climate. The problem is what actually is going to happen on the ground, and that's the big debate.
My next question was on this note anyway, but do you expect the strategy from the National Party could lead to effective outcomes?
All the critics have been saying this won't work, but to be fair, we need both the protection of vulnerable people, the focus on investment in technology, and we need leadership by Indigenous and local communities. Now, what's completely silent in this policy is how they're going to work with Mana Whenua, how they're working as a treaty partner, which is really surprising. Also, their critics are saying, how will this work when you have already rolled back the ban on oil and gas? How is this going to work when you're cutting the services and support and budget for the Climate Commission? Because one of the things we know is that there are now 24 countries that have been reducing their emissions and developing adaptation plans and putting them in practice for over a decade. And that includes the US and it includes the UK. And all the countries that are doing that action well have effective independent watchdogs like a climate commission. So if that climate commission is pared back, it won't work. If the government doesn't raise the price of carbon and also puts their sort of focus on emissions trading schemes in a wider mix of integrated policies, it won't work either. But by itself, there's a good argument for what they're trying to do, a big emphasis on renewables. But when I say it's a national stamp, what's obvious is that this is the kind of centre-right view. The real difficulty for National is whether they can bring their two smaller parties along with them on this journey. And we haven't seen that at all with New Zealand First and also, to some extent, ACT, being so critical of the shift away from oil and gas. So there is a real pressure on Christopher Luxon and on the Minister for Climate Change, Simon Watts, to actually lead now on this, to deliver something. They will be attacked and attacked by their critics. But I think it's also important to remember that they are trying to bring their agriculture lobby with them. So there's been a lot of criticism, much of it is justified, about the way in which National has appeared to be subsidising agriculture by not bringing them along, forcing them or requiring them to be part of an emissions trading scheme and setting up a new panel around, you know, what difference does methane make. But if you were being generous about this, probably National's only way that it's going to convince farmers that it can lead a climate shift that will protect the farming industry but also make a real difference is if it does develop its own panel. So the rosiest spectacles that you could put on would say that if they pushed hard, National would be the party that could also lead in farming. And there is a significant group within farming that is looking for that leadership. The trouble is that the community itself is also really divided. So, yeah, I'm maybe not as cynical as most people, and I know that's going to sound like a sellout, but I think nobody is making very good progress in New Zealand on climate. We have to bring everyone with us, but the big issue is that we just in the last 3 years started to get our emissions down. Now, if we flip-flop and we go totally to investing in infrastructure and in new technology, and we don't also take care of people, make sure that we are really reducing our oil and gas, make sure that we're not building things that lock us into a long-term carbon future, then we'll see that tiny little gain that we started to make disappear. And that would be really such a problem because we need to be accelerating this so much faster.
And what do you think a strategy with greater influence from the coalition partners would look like?
Worse, to be honest. I think that we've already seen a watering down of the objectives of the National Party to have a really strong renewables and innovative focus. We've seen Shane Jones trying to create wedge politics around the issues about oil and gas. And by that I mean that he's really trying to get Labor voters who are traditional employees who would be working in the oil and gas industry in particular, or are connected to those industries, to feel like, you know, they're going to lose jobs, this transition is not going to help them, their party, New Zealand First, is there for them. Now, actually, that is a really big shift from the Shane Jones that I knew when I first started working in political science. I mean, at that time, Shane Jones had been extremely outspoken and a strong advocate for environmental gains and for the way in which Mataranga Māori can lead environmental change. So a lot of this is politics. Like, a lot of this posturing that we're seeing is to increase the vote share, I suspect, for ACT. So when we're in that kind of posturing role, we do have a problem. That said, we also have to be able to show that we can deliver sustainable energy effectively over time. And that might require thinking differently, even about our economy. So there's a lot of discussion about what would an economy look like that is not so driven by growth, that is actually able to share wealth. These are really big political questions that are going to be much more than just five pillars. But at least in the five pillars, National's put out what its focus is going to be. Now the big issue is, can it deliver on those?
And do you think the strategy recognises the climate challenges Aotearoa has faced already?
Yes. One of the things that is quite interesting about this strategy is the framing is very much around the economic impacts in particular of recent disasters. Do I think that there's enough money put aside or enough recognition of how serious this is? No. Because I think if there was, we wouldn't be seeing such significant cuts in areas like mapping our coastal vulnerability to sea level and water incursion. We wouldn't be seeing such big reductions in Ministry for the Environment. It's very noticeable that there has been no cuts to to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, which is Winston Peters' led ministry, but very significant cuts to Ministry for the Environment, for example. Now, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade does have responsibilities internationally for speaking for New Zealand on climate, but we have to actually have work on the ground that we can deliver and show that we're making a difference. And to do that, we need people.
And how does the strategy do in terms of upholding our international climate commitments?
We don't know. It does sit in line with the government's recent commitment to join other countries in an American-led bid to treble renewable energy. So their big focus on renewable energy fits with that. But in terms of their climate agreement with Paris, reducing our greenhouse gases by 50% below what we were emitting in 2005, we don't know yet whether this will work. So what they need to now do is to use the Climate Commission very effectively to track this. They need to set out their targets, set out their actual actions that go behind this. So this is a vision statement, and that's what the critics are arguing. It's just a vision statement. I would say it's a little bit more than that. It is a pillared approach, but that's the foundations that matter now. What's it built on? If it's not going to be built on anything that makes a real difference, then it won't work.
That was the University of Canterbury's Bronwyn Hayward on the government's new climate change strategy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.